Tell me a little about what he was like as a governor, as a politician.
Mike Lowry was an Eastern Washington farm boy turned into an urban politician. He was an extraordinarily effective congressman because he had a very kind of physical style to him. He was able to literally rub stomachs with people in the court, on the hallway outside the House Budget Committee. A very physical, very emotional, very outspoken, very courageous politician.
When you say rub stomachs, that is such a visual image. So he was like a huggy guy or what? What do you mean?
The corridor was very narrow, and it kind of facilitated two people standing very, very close to each other, pointing fingers and doing trade-offs. He was also a hugger, but in the corridor behind the House Budget Committee hearing room, it was literally a meeting of the minds and a meeting of bellies.
You, I'm sure, crossed paths with him as a journalist a number of times. What was that like? What was it like to deal with him as a person?
Very interesting. He could be extremely volatile at times. For instance, President Reagan sent American bombers into the Gulf of Sidra and did an attack on Colonel Gaddafi's compound in Libya. Lowry did not like this. Lowry denounced it, and he went on live on Como TV from Washington, D.C., and delivered an emotional denunciation of the president's actions that I think temporarily disabled the switchboard with people reacting to it. He was famous for using the phrase in varying pronunciations that something was absolutely outrageous, or sometimes absolutely outrageous.
Tell me about his one term as governor. What was happening in Washington State at the time?
He had what I might call, after the famous quote from All About Eve, a Betty Davis administration. Hold on to your seat belts. It's going to be a bumpy night. He began by talking about raising taxes and talking about the hitting the third rail of state politics, talking about an income tax before he was even inaugurated. He was confronted with a Republican legislature and with a top-heavy Republican House majority after the 1994 election. He was accused of harassment by a former deputy press aide, I believe 1995, 1996. Lowry was a somewhat temperamental guy, not the easiest person sometimes to work with in periods of crisis. He later settled this, and he did not seek a second term. Interestingly, however, he did not leave politics, but rather went back to the man who beat him for the U.S. Senate, Dan Evans, and the two of them together formed the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Coalition. Whenever I walked the beach at Double Bluff out on Whidbey Island, I turn to the herons in the water and the eagles up on the top of the bluff and say, they owe their habitat to two men who once ran against each other in a ferocious election for the Senate. And he finally, just before leaving office, we had a massive snowstorm here and then a great flood when it melted. And he took command, and General Greg Barlow of the Washington National Guard talked about never having seen somebody more decisive and competent in doing things. So even though he was controversial, even though he probably could not have won re-election, he went on a high note.
Joel, how will you remember Mike Lowry?
I will remember Mike Lowry lying on a grate all night in Washington, D.C. Several members of Congress, in order to draw attention to the plight of the homeless, spent a night on grate patrol. And so there was Lowry dozing off when various other of my colleagues in the news business were crawling over him trying to get to Representative Joseph P. Kennedy II. So disheveled was Lowry that he was mistaken for some of the normal inhabitants of that grate. But it was a very, very powerful demonstration. One liberal Republican congressman from Connecticut caught the flu, which became pneumonia, which killed him as a result of participating in that. But at the same time, it called attention to the problem in very, very dramatic fashion.